All right, joining me is Jana Block. She is a livestock system specialist at the Hettinger Research Extension Center. And Jana, the topic of focus today is stretching those limited hay supplies. And just to provide us with a little bit of background, really it's statewide. What sort of, I guess, limitations are cattle producers facing when it comes to their forage supplies this year?
Well, obviously, it's been a really challenging growing season and harvest season. So we've got issues with not only forage quantity, but also forage quality. So we're really trying to just, you know, provide producers with some options or things to think about or consider to try to get the best use out of their limited forages and also the best use out of their low quality forages that may not meet nutrient requirements.
So where do we start in that process? Obviously, I think the first place to start is have some of those hay supplies tested, correct?
Right. That's going to be extremely important. I keep saying if you've never tested before, this is the year to do it. It's definitely going to pay dividends. You can get forage analysis done from anywhere between $20 to $40, depending on how much detail. So if you're going for the full nutrient analysis plus minerals, and potentially any contaminants such as nitrate or things like that. In some cases, you know, that's going to cost you a little bit more, but you can get a pretty basic test for around that $20 that will give you protein and energy. And that's really what we need to kind of establish, you know, how you should be feeding a forage. The other important thing, I guess the place to start is get an inventory of the forage that is available. And I know that seems really simplistic, but I don't know how many people actually have quantified, you know, their different lots of hay. And so we define a lot as the same species coming off the same field within a 48-hour period of harvest. And so that could mean that you have a lot of different forage lots, and those are going to vary in quality, obviously, based on when they were harvested, especially this year. A lot of things were really late. And so we know that there's implications there as far as increased fiber content. Sometimes those bales were put up too wet, and that can tie up the protein. And so, again, knowing what you have in terms of number of bales and then testing those bales by lot and getting that nutrient analysis is going to be really key.
So, Jana, say we have some hay supplies that just aren't going to cut it or, you know, not going to be the most nutritional per se. Is there ways to reduce waste of some of this hay or supplies that we do have?
Yeah, there's several things you can consider, and obviously it might require a little bit of change in your feeding strategy or your, you know, some additional equipment might be required. But some simple things would be to, you know, we often feed cows to their appetite. And so, you know, a cow will eat anywhere from 2.5% to 3% of her body weight in forage, depending on, you know, that forage quality. That will kind of dictate how much she can actually physically eat. But we might have some higher quality forages that we could feed at lower amounts that will still meet needs. So again, that comes back to knowing what you have on hand so that you can be more strategic, you know, and not provide excess hay that they're just going to waste. We know that rolling out bales is a really common strategy. Unfortunately, that's the one that usually results in the most waste. The studies that have been done have shown waste up to 45%. So that's almost half of what you're putting out on a daily basis. So, you know, and then you consider a lot of times with storms coming or things like that, people might put out a couple days of feed. And so they have that much more hay available. And so there's a lot of trampling. There's defecation, urination, and so that contaminates the feed, and then they're not going to eat it. So, you know, trying to feed just one day's feed, if you have the option of grinding or processing hay, that will increase utilization, especially of low-quality hay. Obviously, that adds some cost. But just thinking about maybe putting up a barrier between the cows and the forage, we know that they just walk through it. And so, you know, thinking about maybe some type of panel feeder, or some people have even used electric fence and just rolled out the bale and force the cows to kind of stay behind a certain line. There's obviously tire feeders, lots of different things that you could think about, just depending on, you know, what form your forage is in and what you have for equipment. I think the other thing, maybe it's not exactly related to waste, but trying to be strategic about how you're feeding the cows. So sorting by their body condition score and age is a really, we know that those cows have different requirements. And so thinking about, sorting the low body condition score, older cows, and maybe some younger cows that also have increased nutrient requirements, then you can feed some of your higher quality forages to those groups, and your mature cows that are in good body condition could get some of the lower moderate quality forages. We have to remember that these spring calving herds are entering late gestation right now, and so energy and protein needs are going to go up by 15% to 20% over the next couple of months, and so it's really important to keep an eye on body condition now and try to maintain them at that 5, so they're calving in a condition score 5 for mature cows, 6 for heifers. You don't want to get in a situation where they're thin at calving and then you're trying to make that up when they're lactating.
So Jana, say, okay, we know what we have, we've taken our inventory, we know maybe we're lacking a little bit of nutrient A, B, or C, whatever it may be. Could you walk us through a couple scenarios, or what options do producers have for supplementation?
Well, North Dakota is really lucky because we have a lot of different byproducts and alternative feeds. We have a lot of resources on the NDSU Extension website we have an alternative feeds publication. We also just did a webinar series this fall that's dealing with some of the challenges that were faced. And so we have some recorded webinars that talk about stretching the forage supply, and we have some resources listed on that website as well, and one of those is a listing of alternative feeds and availability and pricing as of November 1st that Carl Hoppe up at the Carrington Research Center has put together. So go to that website, check that out. There are all kinds of high energy, high fiber feeds that won't impact forage utilization like some of our grains will. So some of those options might be your wheat mids or distillers grains. And a lot of those are really nutrient dense in terms of both energy and protein. You know, a lot of times people focus on, we need a protein supplement, but I'm going to say this year and many other years, oftentimes you definitely need protein to be able to utilize that energy, but the forages may be really deficient in energy this year, so you might need to look at something that's a little more balanced in terms of providing both of those.